poems have tailed off a bit now. Whether he's got a bit browned off with writing them, I don't know. But anyway, John, if you're listening, drop us another line or two, and we might, as we used to do, read out some of your poems on air. Anyway, nice to hear you still listen to the programme. John Cross of St Albans. Right, the 7 o'clock news coming your way very, very shortly. Then I'll be talking at 7:10 after the bulletin to LBC's vet Bradley Viner about the fact, should all dogs have a tail? Well, today, dog owners will be arguing that they shouldn't and that docking can be carried out by owners as well as vets. We'll get the leading vet Bradley Viner's opinion on that one after the news, but now stand by for the bulletin at 7 o'clock, coming your way on this very radio station.
This is London Talkback Radio, 1152 kilohertz, 261 metres medium wave.
Good morning, it's 7 o'clock, I'm Douglas Cameron. In this bulletin, over 1,300 businesses go bankrupt every week, despite economic recovery, a mystery over cash withdrawals by the victims of London's gay serial killer, a 12-year-old London girl dies after taking anti-malaria tablets. Thousands of companies are continuing to go bust despite signs of recovery in the economy. According to figures compiled by Dun & Bradstreet, more than 1,340 firms are failing every week. Here's Robin Amlow.
Total business failures in the first half rose 5.6%. Here in London, almost 4,400 firms failed in the last 6 months. That's actually down slightly on last year's levels, but the number of personal bankruptcies is up. Coming out of this recession, small firms are bearing the brunt of business failure. That's a turnaround, says the Dun & Bradstreet survey from the last recession. 10 years ago, the number of small firms going bust was less than half the level it's running at this year.
Detectives hunting the serial killer preying on gay men in the capital are investigating cash point withdrawals from the accounts of three of his victims. Amounts between £150 and £200 were taken during the time when the victims were last seen and when their bodies were discovered by the police. Here's Hervey Todd.
The money was collected early in the morning, usually at 6 o'clock. In the case of Peter Walker, the first victim found in Battersea, three withdrawals totalling £150 were made within minutes. £200 was taken from the account of Christopher Dunn, possibly on the day he died. American businessman Perry Bradley was last seen on June the 4th. £200 was taken from his account the next morning. None of the cards used to collect the cash have been found, and detectives say they're not yet certain whether the withdrawals were made by the killer.
An investigation has begun into the death of a 12-year-old London girl who apparently mistook malaria pills for painkillers. The victim was rushed to the West Middlesex Hospital after complaining of a stomach ache at school. John Connolly, chairman of the local council's education committee, says everything possible was done to help her.
Everybody concerned acted in an exemplary manner. Unfortunately, things moved so fast that she was dead within 15 minutes. But I have to say, this for us is a single tragic event. It's not the sort of thing that you would expect to happen in a school.
LBC News Time, 7:03. Former Minister Michael Mates says he'll maintain pressure to force an independent inquiry into the serious fraud office's handling of the Azul Nadir case. The Attorney General's rejected the request. He says there's no evidence of collusion or injustice. Reporting from Westminster, Paul Rowley.
Sir Nicholas Lyle says he's studied Michael Mates' allegations and concluded there's no justification in holding an independent inquiry.
Sometimes I found that there really wasn't any foundation. Sometimes there was some foundation, but a reasonable explanation. And that's been given. And I don't really see that there's anything for an independent inquiry to do.
But Mr. Mates says he won't let the matter rest.
If the independent referee tells me that I was wrong, that I was gullible, that I was duped, that I've been a fool, I'll accept that and go away.
In the meantime, Labour are demanding a common statement from the Attorney General to clear up the inconsistencies.
Police in New York have so far linked five deaths to a man who claims to have murdered up to 17 prostitutes. 34-year-old Joel Rifkin has been ordered to be held without bail as detectives mount a widespread search for the bodies of his victims. Police discovered the body of a woman in Rifkin's car after stopping him for a routine license check. Here, London Transport says quality on the tube and buses improved over the past year, providing the best service for many years. but it says the network's financial future is less bright. Here's Ian Ramage.
London Transport's annual report concludes that the underground and bus networks improved on the high standards achieved in 91 to 92, beating virtually all the targets set by the Transport Secretary. There was record investment of £789 million, up by 50% on the previous year. But LT Chairman Sir Wilfred Newton, who's paid tribute to his staff, says the Chancellor's 92 statement cut its funding by more than 30%. He says that will mean much of the momentum of improvement will be slowed to a pace below the minimum that he sees necessary.
Financial news next. The European markets have started trading this morning as the pound continues to strengthen. With the details, Rebecca Marston.
The pound's been firm overnight. Nothing dramatic, but it's still holding its recent gains. Currently in the foreign exchanges against the dollar, it's up half a cent at $1.51. The pound against the mark, 2 marks 55, up a third of a pfennig. The pound against the yen, 160¾, up a quarter of a yen. The dollar now against the yen, it stands at 106¾, down two-thirds of a yen. And against the mark, the dollar's at 169, that's unchanged. In the share market in Tokyo, the Nikkei index is up 69 points at 19,612. Over in America last night, their Dow Jones index closed down 11.35 at 3518.85. To Australia, where the All Ordinaries index is sharply higher, up 20.3 at 1738.8, following news their current account deficit narrowed to $1.5 billion Australian dollars. UK shares start dealing in an hour's time.
Now the sport, here's Dominic.
Steffi Graf and Martina Navratilova have reached the semi-finals of the ladies' singles at Wimbledon, both without dropping a set. In the quarter-finals, Graf beat Jennifer Capriati 7-6-6-1 and Navratilova beat Natalia Zareva 6-3-6-1. Graf will play Conchita Martinez, who beat Helena Sokova 6-3-6-4, and Navratilova will face Jana Novotna, who beat Gabriella Sabatini 6-4-6-3. Today is men's quarterfinals day. The first match on centre court at 1 o'clock will be between the number one seed Pete Sampras and the defending champion Andre Agassi. Alan Iggleston is still doubtful for tomorrow's third Cornhill test against Australia at Trent Bridge because of a back strain. He'll have more treatment from the England physio Dave Roberts today before trying to prove his fitness in this afternoon's final practice session. The Barnet manager Eddie Steen has called an emergency meeting of his players at Underhill today. He returned from holiday yesterday to find the club's future gloomier than ever with only 9 players still under contract. There are 4 race meetings today. They're at Catterick, Warwick and Yarmouth this afternoon and at Epsom this evening.
Coming up, the weather.
From now until the 31st of August, SEAT are offering great deals on their Toledo range. Buy any new Toledo during this period and we're offering interest-free credit. That's 0% APR, subject to status. If that isn't enough, every Toledo comes with a host of extras. 0% APR finance on all SEAT Toledos. Free phone 0800 521 382 for a written quotation and your nearest SEAT dealer. SEAT UK Limited is a licensed credit broker.
Here is the weather now from Philip Eden.
And from the LBC weather station, the temperature 13.5, the wind northeasterly at 4 miles an hour. Air quality is still good at the moment, but it will deteriorate during the next hour or so. And the pollen forecast is high, that means between 50 and 100. The weather itself today not really changing from what we've been used to over the last 3 or 4 days. So any early morning mist patches are in the process of dispersing now. Otherwise, blue skies, sunshine and light winds. And through the day, there'll be a few patches of high cloud later this morning and this afternoon, but nothing of any importance. More or less unbroken sunshine through the rest of the day. The breeze picking up a little bit. There'll be a moderate northeasterly breeze during the afternoon, but that no doubt will be very welcome during the hottest part of the day. And highest temperatures ranging from 22 degrees to the east of London, that's in Essex and in Kent, to 25 degrees around the westernmost fringes of the London area. Overnight tonight it'll stay fine and it'll be slightly warmer than last night. Philip Eden, LBC Weather.
This is Douglas Cameron's Breakfast Call.
Don't talk to me about going to the sales. Those ghastly crowds. And what do you end up with? Well, I've never found anything to suit me. And I lost an earring. And the pushing and the shoving.
The sales have started. And frankly, there are some very good reasons to let them pass you by. And then there's the Liberty Summer Sale. It's on now, in Regent Street. And it's a far from ordinary sale. Because, after all, Liberty is a far from ordinary store.
In Regent Street now, the extraordinary Liberty Summer Sale, with extraordinary prices.
So I said to her, pardon me, but you're bruising my mink.
This is Douglas Cameron's Breakfast Call.
Phone now on 071 603 1152.
9 minutes past seven is the time. Dog breeders will today make a last-ditch attempt to continue the practice of tail docking. Tomorrow, an amendment to the 1966 Veterinary Surgeons Act takes effect, which will make it illegal for vets to dock, or non-vets to dock, their dogs' tails. But many vets say they won't be docking tails either. Many dog breeders and owners are outraged at the move. They predict that an end to docking could adversely affect dog welfare through increased tail injury. Joining me on the line now is a very familiar voice, the talkback vet, Bradley Viner. Bradley, good morning.
Good morning, Douglas.
Now, first of all, will you personally be docking dogs' tails after tomorrow?
Certainly not, except in very exceptional circumstances when there's some sort of injury to the tail.
Yes.
I haven't been docking tails for several years now.
What is your objection to it?
It's only really done for the sake of fashion. If you look at the breeds that are docked, there's no logic behind it. For example, there's two breeds of Corgi, the Pembroke and the Cardigan. One's docked, the other isn't, but they're identical dogs. They do an identical job if they work. Yorkshire Terriers have bits of tail chopped off them. They're not working dogs. Why should it be done? Rottweilers. Why do it, except for the sakes of fashion? We used to crop dogs' ears.
Yes.
We thought that they looked better like that, and there was, I'm sure, a furore when that was banned a long time ago. But people have now forgotten about that, although it's still done in other countries, and nobody in this country is saying we should go back to docking dogs' ears, or cropping dogs' ears.
Well, you see, the Docked Breed Association say it will put dog welfare at risk if no one will dock certain dogs' tails.
Well, I think that the only breeds where there could be an argument in favour of docking would be breeds which work in heavy cover, such as the Springer Spaniel. And the Royal College of Veterinary Surgeons has said that it will be, from after July the 1st, unethical for a veterinary surgeon to dock a dog's tails unless he knows that a particular dog or a particular litter is going to be used for working. And that it's a breed where there is a definite risk of injury to the tail. But again, there are plenty of breeds that work in long cover that have long tails. And even taking a Springer Spaniel, a working Springer Spaniel actually has its tail docked with a lot more tail left on than a show Springer. They're docked much, much shorter. And
yes.
It really just proves the point that it really is just done for the sake of fashion.
But is that such a bad thing? I mean, if somebody wants to be in fashion with their dog, does it actually harm the dog itself to dock the tail?
I think it's distasteful. Dogs have tails. They're perfectly healthy and useful appendages. They're there for balance. They're there for communication. And the idea of chopping healthy bits off dogs just for the sake of fashion, I and the vast majority of the veterinary profession find completely repugnant and distasteful.
But distasteful it may be, but does it actually physically harm the dog, Bradley?
I think that there are cases where injury has resulted from docking and complications have resulted.
Hmm.
But I think that it's more a moral question.
A moral question, I see, and certainly you wouldn't do it. How many vets do you think will continue to dock? Do you know?
I think there's going to be very few. And the Royal College of Veterinary Surgeons, of course, do have the right to stop a veterinary surgeon from practicing if they feel that they're acting in a disgraceful professional manner. And the Royal College of Veterinary Surgeons have said that repeated docking, except in very exceptional circumstances where the vet has to log the reasons why he's docked a particular litter, will amount to professional misconduct. So our jobs are on the line. So
yeah.
No, I don't think many vets will be. And besides that, a survey was carried out of veterinary surgeons, and well over 90% actually backed the ban on docking. So it has the support of the vast majority of the veterinary profession.
What sort of demand is there from dog owners for it? I mean, how many times have people come to you, Bradley, in your veterinary clinic in northwest London and said, please dock my dog's tail?
It's not a great problem to me. I have explained to people why we don't do it, and in fact quite a few people who have bred litters have bred them with tails, and people are going to get used to seeing these breeds with tails. In fact, a lot of people don't realise that they've ever been chopped off. A lot of Yorkie owners are totally, for example, taking a breed that's, you know, commonly kept as a pet, are totally unaware that anybody's chopped bits off their little pet's tail.
Won't the practice, though, go underground? Isn't that the pattern? If it's stopped legally, it'll be done illegally if there is a demand, and therefore it would be more dangerous than ever.
Well, at the moment it's being done by lay people anyway, up till now, but these people will be breaking the law. The RSPCA and the Home Office have both said that they will be looking to enforce the law fully. So it will have the weight of the law behind it. I don't doubt that there will be some illegal docking in the short term.
Mm-hmm.
But what's going to happen is that we're going to see more and more undocked dogs around. We're going to see them in the show rings. We're going to see them winning in the show rings.
Like places like Crufts, for instance.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And with time, people will get used to seeing dogs with tails. It's just going to come as a bit of a culture shock to start with.
Bradley, thank you very much indeed for your words of wisdom this morning. Bradley Viner, won't be long, I'm sure, before we hear you on the airwaves again. Talkback vet Bradley Viner. And there's no doubt where he stands on the docking issue. What I'd like to hear now is where you stand on the docking issue. Should all dogs have a tail? That's what we want to ask you, and I'd appreciate your answers, please, on 071 603 1152. It's 7:15.
But, Doctor, you must help me.
What's the problem?
Computers. All those RAMs, bytes, disk drives. It's so confusing. I need help.
Yeah.
I run screaming from the shops.
Is that all?
Yeah.
Take this.
What's that?
It's the address of your nearest Ryman computer store.
Will they help?
Help? They'll cure you.
Really?
Ryman computer store offer helpful expert advice. And the latest products, like the Paradox and Quattro Pro for Windows software, for under £190.
I feel better already.
Thought you would.
Ryman Computer Store. The specialist in the high street.
7:16, and up aloft, I don't know what the morning's like. It's always all right down here. It might be a touch misty up there. We'll get it now, the weather and the traffic, from Winko Wolf and the DHL London Lookout Aircraft. Brian, what's it like up there?
A very, very good morning to you. Not bad at all. Just a little bit hazy, really. The sun's shining, no clouds. It's just going to be a lovely day. The Blackwall Tunnel overhead vehicle northbound, again. That's actually been cleared, but the tailback is almost back to Kidbrook now. That's past the Sun and Sands roundabout. The tidal flow is in, so hopefully it might sort of dispel itself as the morning goes on. Southbound Wears tailing back halfway to the Bow flyover. The burst water main, Pentonville Road junction with Claremont Square. Just had a look at that one. Townbound, no real problem. The traffic seems to be coping with that at the moment. Greenwich, the one-way system there. Trafalgar Road, that's a bit heavy. I think that's got something to do with the Blackwall situation northbound. Lower Road tailing solidly back to Creek Road. We've got a queue into the Rotherhithe Tunnel, not a very long one. Just a few hundred yards at the moment, but that may well get worse. That is northbound if you're coming from the south of the river. And Lower Thames Street, that seems to be fairly busy, but it is moving okay at the present time, townbound. So I'll keep my eye on that one. That's it from me, Brian Wolf, in the London Lookout, delivered by DHL Worldwide Express.
British Rail have got a rather nasty problem. Services between Victoria and Norwood via Crystal Palace, they're being delayed by nearly half an hour at the moment. That is because of a points problem. More of your calls after this. It's 7:17.
Once upon a Tito, Goldilocks flopped into the forry. There was a cottie with three baseload of porry on the tabloid, all slightly steamy off. So she did a tasty most in the little baseload, and oh, joy, as it rolled down the epiglottis down
there. Ain't what you say, it's the way that you say it. Call the presentation company on 071-831-3630 for a slide presentation with a fairy tale ending.
And when the three bear loaders found Goldilocks, she jumped up, out the window, down the drain pocket. Oh, naughty girly.
Yes, quite.
Where in the world?
Where in the world can you get a vast range of computer products? This Indian elephant herdsman may get PCs and printers, but how about mathmats?
Oh, please, not to mention mouse.
In Louisiana, tone-deaf boy Jefferson sings about a lack of modem.
I got a blue, can't find a PC world.
While in Sicily, they're making me an offer I can't refuse.
Low-price screen filters.
Oh, good. We're going to PC World, are we? For a great range of thousands of computer products all at low, low prices, go to PC World. With four discount superstores at Croydon, Brentford, Staples Corner and Lakeside Retail Park, Thurrock, we're Britain's biggest computer superstore chain.
PC World.
Douglas Cameron's Breakfast Call.
19 minutes past seven. Wendy has called me from Maida Vale. Good morning, Wendy.
Morning, Douglas. Talking about docking of dogs' tails.
Yes.
I've got one of the standard poodles. That's a very large dog.
Oh, yes. I used to have one of them.
They're fabulous.
They're lovely dogs, aren't they?
I bred her a couple of years ago, and because she was champion strain and the sire was his cross champion, the puppies obviously had a good potential future.
Mm-hmm.
So I spoke to a lot of judges at the time about docking, and they all said that unless the Kennel Club changed their rules, they could never make a poodle with a tail up to a champion. So therefore, I had to have the puppies' tails off, which was done at 2 days old. I must admit they didn't feel anything because they'd slept in my hand while the person who did the docking actually carried it out.
Yes.
But having said that, my vet wouldn't do it. I had to get somebody else who was a breeder and a judge to come and do it for me.
What did you feel about it?
Well, it didn't hurt the puppies because they also had their dew claws out at the same time.
Mm.
I ended up with 9 little curvatures on a piece of tissue. Said, what should I do with them? He said, do you want to make a necklace out of them?
Yes, yes.
I think, I must admit, with the standard poodle, those I've seen with tails, they look a bit ridiculous because they go right across their backs like a huge corkscrew. But other dogs, spaniels and various other breeds that you see with tails on, which have long curvy tails like Labradors, they look rather lovely.
Wendy, thank you very much indeed. Standard poodles, yes, they're marvellous dogs, aren't they? As I say, I used to have one, but we didn't dock his tail, I must say. But standard poodles, any more standard poodle owners who have had their pets' tails docked? I'd love to hear from you. Ron of Tottenham, good morning.
Good morning. Before the news, you were talking to a representative of the Royal Mint.
Yes, I was.
I've just got July issue of the Witch magazine. And they've got a little snippet in there about the old Tempe, which information seems to be slightly different to what he says. They talk about June in the past tense because it's a July magazine.
Yeah.
And they write, on 30th of June, the old Tempe SP ceased to be legal tender. Millions of them are still unaccounted for. If you miss the deadline, your bank will probably still change in old Tempe pieces. When the old South Pence piece was withdrawn, banks carried on exchanging them for 3 months.
Uh-huh.
Or you can exchange them by sending or taking them to the Royal Mint in some place in Mid Glamorgan, which I can't pronounce. Alternatively, you may well find that your favourite charity is only too pleased to take your old tenpence pieces off your hands.
Right.
From the representative of the Royal Mint, was understood that the only thing you could do with them was give them to your local charity.
Or the Royal Mint would certainly take them, Ron. That is the case, I think. If you want to send them to the Royal Mint.
Right. I know please. My local banks told me that they'll not take the old one or two, but if you've got, you know, the £5 quota in the bag, they'll take those off you as well.
Right. Thank you, Ron, for pointing that out. And indeed, I certainly have a copy of the Independent Consumer Guide, which, and it says that, as we said, the old 10pp ceases to be legal tender today. If you miss the deadline, your bank will probably still exchange old 10p pieces. So I think it's a question of going along to your bank and seeing how they feel about it. Angela of Westminster, good morning to you.
Hello. Food from childhood.
Yes, we played a lovely commercial for Spam today, which was about 30 years old, and it got us round, which a listener sent in, got us round to thinking of childhood foods.
Well, mine is cabbage.
Cabbage?
Cabbage. I had it when I was at school.
Yes.
And they forced me to eat it, and even now, when I smell it, I feel quite ill.
Do you?
Yes.
Anything else that you were allergic to at school that you hate
now? No, it's cabbage. They forced me to eat it, and ever since then, even when I smell it, I just feel quite ill.
Oh right. Listen, have you eaten Spam?
Yes, I quite like it actually.
Do you?
Yes, that and corned beef.
Corned beef and Spam, but not cabbage.
Oh, no.
All right, Angela, thank you very much indeed. Well, we'll put that to people's pet hates. I tell you what I am still looking for. Well, a lady rang up about an hour ago, and we were talking about food that you hated in your childhood, and especially if you were a child during the war. Snook, S-N-O-E-K, which is a fish concoction. I must admit, I'd never heard of until an hour ago. But if anybody else has heard of Snook and ate it, or is eating it now, I'd be delighted to hear from them. Right, that was Angela. Elspeth of Stoke Newington, good morning to you. Oh. Right, I'll try again. Regina of New Barnet. Good morning, Regina.
Good morning, Douglas. It's Regina.
Regina,
yes,
of course.
You've forgotten.
I know who you are now.
That's right.
Because you've rung before, of
How
course.
How are you?
Very well.
Good. Before I get to the food thing, I've got two wonderful large Yorkshire Terriers, and I think they would look divine with long tails.
Yes?
You know, a friend of mine's got one with a long term. They look so much prettier, but still, that's by the by.
So would you be against docking?
Yes, oh, absolutely. It's revolting. It's unnecessary.
All right.
Yeah. About food. I was born the back end of the 40s, Douglas.
Right.
So it was after the war, and they were still rationing until 53, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And because of the shortage, I think my mother wanted to try and make up for deficiencies in any way.
Yes.
And she used to line my brother up three times a day after meals and feed us. And anybody will remember this of my age. Radio malt in a large brown jar and cod liver oil.
Radio malt?
It's the most disgusting, you can get malt loaf bread made from it nowadays.
What is it? What was it?
Well, it's full of vitamin B and D and God knows what. It's a thick, glutinous brown muck. And it used to stick to the jar and it was foul. And that used to be followed very quickly with a dose of cod liver oil.
Oh.
And she wondered why, when I got to a teenager, I was exceedingly fat.
Radio malt?
Yes, it is. Honestly, it's noxious. And anybody born at that time will remember it.
All right, Regina, thank you very much indeed. Marie from Camden, good morning.
Oh, good morning, Doug. It's lovely to speak to you. I thought when I heard that on the wireless this morning about food during the war, it really brought me back to when our butcher said to me, would you like to have a nice steak for your husband tonight?
Mm.
So I said, oh, I would love to. We haven't got any, have you? So he said, well, we've just got some whale meat coming.
Whale meat?
Do you remember whale meat?
I do, yes. I don't think I've ever tasted any. Was it any good?
Yeah, well, he said, but mind you, get you plenty of Spanish onions, you see.
Spanish onions,
cook
yes.
Cook the onions with the with the whale meat, and you won't notice it.
Oh.
Well, during the war, when you went to visit people, you had to take your food with you, if you remember, because people had their own rations, didn't they?
Uh-huh.
So I took about four of these slices to a friend of mine for dinner with our children.
Yes.
And I cooked it for them. But we must have got the end part of the whale, because it was terrible, because it was all fishy.
Oh.
Normally, if you get the middle piece, it was really lovely. It was like real good steak, you know.
Ooh.
But it was terrible. So I took it back to him. So, you know, brought it all back because it was money wasted.
Yes.
And he said, oh, I'm terribly sorry, Marie. He said, we must have given you the end part and we shouldn't have done. And that should have been thrown away. But it just brought me back memories because it was really lovely if you've got the middle part.
Yes.
So, if people have it over the world in the war now, so, you know, all over the world they have it, don't they?
Yeah. So I'm not surprised the end part of a whale's fishy. I would have thought the middle part of a whale was fishy as well. Anyway, never mind. Mary, thank you for your reminiscences. We'll continue this after the 7:30 news. It's now 7:26.
Now, you know how much I love my Eurotech kitchen, so you can imagine how thrilled I am to hear how many of you love yours, too. Like Harry and Brenda from Middlesex, who adore the quality of their new Eurotech kitchen and the high standard of craftsmanship that went into fitting it. But what impressed them most of all was no high-pressure sales. Well, there's no need, is there? A Eurotech kitchen speaks for itself. And mine's telling me lunch is ready. So I'll talk to you darlings later.
When you choose a Eurotech kitchen, fitting is free. Call Eurotech now on 081 503 7600. That's 503 7600.
Operator service.
I've been trying to let my flat for the past 6 weeks.
We don't let flats, sir.
I know, but there's a free phone number that gets homes let fast in the 071 area.
Oh, what you want is free phone letting 071.
That's it.
If you're letting or renting property in central London, dial 100 and ask for free phone lettings 071.
7:27 at the AA, Michael Watkins.
The A102M Blackwall Tunnel, southern approach, northbound traffic virtually at a standstill back to the Sun in Sand roundabout. That followed a recent overheight vehicle. And the A2 townbound from Kidbrook towards the Sun in Sands, also generally heavy. Expect delays on Pentonville Road at Islington. That's westbound, heading away from Angel towards King's Cross. There's a lane closure there, junction with Penton Street due to a burst water main. M25 getting busy, but motorways elsewhere looking generally good. Michael Watkins, AA Road Watch.
Now the buses and the underground, and buses will be delayed in Pentonville Road, as you might expect, also York Way, and there's some roadworks in Baker Street which could delay buses as well. The underground and Docklands Light Railway are fine, with coaches on time at Victoria Coach Station. Later this morning there'll be union meetings at the bus garages at New Cross and Camberwell, and this means that services based there will deteriorate from about 10:30, and there'll be no service at all on the routes based there from 11 o'clock for as long as the meetings go on. Michael Meach reporting.
And good news from British Rail. We've just heard that services between Victoria and Norwood via Crystal Palace are back to normal. There were delays of about half an hour, but they've sorted out the points problem and everything now going well. Time check for you? Certainly. 7:29.
What do I do? I don't know what to do. What
Some businessmen spend hours worrying about which computer accounting system to buy for their company. Others take a more relaxed approach by contacting Lakeview. Lakeview specialise in accounting and administration computer systems. We'll visit your company, find out exactly what's needed, then supply and support software and hardware to fit your specific requirements. To find out how Lakeview can help you, call Freephone Lakeview Computers. That's Freephone Lakeview Computers.
London Talkback Radio.
Well, the main talking points this morning, the demise of the old 10p coin. Have you had your dog's tail docked? And we're talking about childhood foods that you liked or hated. Snurk, dried egg and cabbage get the thumbs down, but it's wham bam, thank you spam.
This is London Talkback Radio. 1152 kilohertz, 261 meters, medium wave.
It's 7:30. I'm Douglas Cameron. The head of the Serious Fraud Office may be summoned before the Commons Home Affairs Committee to answer allegations of using unfair tactics against the fugitive tycoon Azal Nadir. Members meet today to consider claims made by Michael Mates in his speech of resignation. The director of the SFO, George Staple, denies that his officers acted improperly. But the Tory MP, Keith Hampson, says the allegations must be investigated.
It's a matter of specific procedures being operated by particular people in the organisation. They may have overstepped their authority, they may have behaved improperly. How are we to tell? But the public at large and the City of London have to have full confidence in such a body as the Serious Fraud Office. And frankly, I'm not sure how you regain that confidence unless you have an independent person look at it.
More than 1,300 firms are still going bust every week. That's according to a new Dun & Bradstreet survey. In London, almost 4,400 firms failed in the last 6 months, and the number of personal bankruptcies has risen. A post-mortem examination is to be carried out on a girl of 12 who died after taking malaria pills she apparently thought were painkillers. The victim complained of a stomach ache at school in West London and was taken to the West Middlesex Hospital by ambulance, where she died soon afterwards. Police hunting the serial killer of five gay men in London are investigating cash withdrawals from three of the victims' bank accounts. The transactions happened after the men were last seen alive, but before their bodies were discovered. New York police have now linked five deaths to a man who claims to have murdered 17 prostitutes. He's led them to the remains of two women and given information only the killer would know about three bodies already recovered. We have this report from Paul Woodley.
The police, being cautious, won't say if they believe Joel Rifkin's claim to have killed 17 women, Superintendent Thomas Constantine.
At this stage of the game, we cannot be sure that the number he gave us is a true number, either that it's that large or that small.
But so far, Rifkin's information has checked out. He's cooperating completely with police, though his lawyer, Robert Sale, seems to have worries about Rifkin's mental state.
He gave some appropriate responses and some inappropriate responses.
The lawyer seems to be laying the groundwork for an insanity defense.
Now the financial news. In Tokyo, the Nikkei index closed up 46.58 at 19,590. Last night in New York, the Dow Jones finished down 11.35 at 3518.85. The latest Hang Seng index in Hong Kong, that's down 17.49 at 7089.98. On the foreign exchanges, the pound is up half a cent against the dollar at $1.51, and the pound against the mark, 2 marks 55 and a quarter, that's up half a pfennig. The currency, the best you'll get buying these abroad, the French franc, 8.27, the Greek drachma, 342, the Italian lira, 2,260, the Portuguese escudo, 238, and the Spanish peseta, 191. Here's Philip Eden looking at London's weather.
Latest temperature is 14.5. The wind is north-northeasterly at 3 miles an hour. The barometer now 1,015.9 millibars. That's 30 inches exactly and rising slowly. Not good weather if you're a hay fever sufferer. Another high count today. But if you're not, it's going to be another splendid day with bright sunshine virtually uninterrupted through the day. There will be a few clouds appearing later this morning and this afternoon. Mostly very thin and high in the sky, the sort that the sun shines through without too much trouble. So the fourth day in a row with almost uninterrupted sunshine. Temperatures not too high. There'll be a moderate breeze from the northeast and low humidity levels, so a fairly comfortable warmth even in offices. A top temperature ranging from 22 or 72 in Essex and Kent to 25 or 77 in some of the western suburbs. And overnight tonight it'll continue fine. Philip Eden, LBC Weather.
Well, nice to know the settled spell is going on. What sort of temperatures did we get to yesterday? How much sun did we have?
Well, temperature-wise, there was quite a wide range again because of that east to northeasterly breeze that we've had for the last few days blowing up the River Thames and producing a slight cooling in the eastern and central parts of London. Central London, in fact, had a high of 22 or 72 yesterday, but Heathrow Airport on the western side managed just over 24, which is just over 75 Fahrenheit. Hottest spots in the country were down in Hampshire and Dorset. Southampton, for example, 26 or 79. We notched up 14 and a half hours sunshine yesterday, which is about half an hour less than the preceding day, thanks to a little patchy cloud during the morning. But it, with today's quota, it looks as though we should make 60 hours in the last 4 days of this month, which will be sufficient to bring the total for the month to just above average.
Yes. It's pretty chilly out of the sun, isn't it? That's presumably because of that northeasterly breeze.
It's the combination of the breeze and the low humidity levels, yes. And that's certainly been a feature of the last few days, and I think has made the weather much more comfortable than many hot spells we've had in recent years.
Philip, thank you very much indeed. 25 minutes to 8 is the time. On we go to the sport now. Tennis. Steffi Graf and Martina Navratilova have both reached the semi-finals of the women's singles at Wimbledon without dropping a set. In the quarterfinals, Graf beat Jennifer Capriati 7-6, 6-1, and Navratilova beat Natalia Zareva 6-3, 6-1. Now, today, tomorrow, in fact, Graf will play Conchita Martinez, who beat Helena Sakova 6-3, 6-4, and Navratilova will face Jana Novotna, who beat Gabriella Sabatini 6-4, 6-3. Well, with great respect to Martinez and Novotna, one can't help thinking that they are mere stepping stones to Graf and Navratilova meeting in the final on Saturday. Today is men's quarterfinals day. The first match on centre court at 1 o'clock, Sampras against Agassi. That'll be a real thriller, won't it? Now, the Barnet manager, Eddie Steen, has called an emergency meeting of his players at Underhill today. He returned from holiday yesterday to find the club's future gloomier than ever, with only 9 players still under contract. There are 4 race meetings today. They're at Catterick, Warwick and Yarmouth this afternoon, and at Epsom this evening. Now, if you hear the sound of horses' hooves, it won't be coconut shells. It'll be the real thing, because Tomo is on the gallops, aren't you?
Yes, I am indeed, and it's not so warm today, Douglas. It's a bit on the nippy side, but I've just come in from the gallops. I'm standing next to the road. Here's a car. That's on the main Newmarket Road.
Right.
So we're here. Jeanne has just worked very nicely, one of Jeff Ragg's horses, the one at Royal Ascot. Still waiting for Tenby. Henry Cecil String don't pull out till about 7:30, so it won't be for another 5 or 10 minutes before he gets to the gallop. So, still waiting for him.
Anyway, another winner yesterday. Well, yep. Done. Mardude in the 2 o'clock at Chepstow at 7 to 4. So, 3 winners out of 4 this week.
Touch wood, it's going well. It's rather nice, and after the big prices last weekend, well, fingers crossed. Now, today.
Yes.
Now, you know, yesterday we said we were looking at Sir Mark Prescott's horses galloping past.
Yes.
Well, I think he's got a couple of winners today. First of all, at Catterick, in the 4:40, number 3, Nico Dula. This one's a half-sister to Terryman, and it's interesting that the stable jockey, George Duffield, goes to Catterick for this one today.
Mm-hmm.
So that, I think, is a tip in itself. And over at Warwick this afternoon, the 4:20, number 2, Quinn Sigismond.
Mm.
Isn't that a nice name? Quinn Sigismond. That should win the 4:20. And that's also trained by Sir Mark Prescott.
How do you spell that, then?
Oh, I thought you'd ask that. It's number 2 in the 4:20.
Number 2 in the 4:20.
You got it.
Okay. Are you riding yourself this morning?
No, I thought I'd leave that to the pros. They seem to do it, and they get paid rather more than I do. But I tell you what, I'll give you a call back in about an hour or so and tell you exactly how Tenby works. If he works well this morning, he could become new favourite for the Eclipse on Saturday. And that being the case, we could beat the bookies on this occasion because they don't open till 9:30.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. So I'll give you a call back about 8:30. I'll let you know exactly. I'll say he works well or he doesn't work well. We'll know whether to back him.
Tomo, thank you. I was going to say Tenby. Thanks very much. Tomo, thank you very much indeed. It's 21 minutes to 8.
This is Douglas Cameron's breakfast call on London Talkback Radio.
10:58, Central London.
I'm very keen to sign the deal if you're in Brussels at 3 o'clock their time, but that's 2 o'clock here.
Would you make it? Try taking a scheduled flight and you might as well not bother. Just getting through a major airport can take hours. With SFC air taxis, you're in the air much faster, arrive much closer to your destination. SFC air taxis fly where and when you want them to. The advantages in time and cost make it make sense. SFC Air Taxis. We're ready when you are.
Flying high.
Call SFC now. 081 504 3000.
The Hampton Court Palace Flower Show is everything you've ever imagined an English summer could be. A gigantic festival of flowers set in beautiful royal parkland with thousands of exquisite blooms for you to admire or buy. And the largest ever display of the rarest garden plants in Britain. The Hampton Court Palace Flower Show, from the 7th to the 11th of July. Summer wouldn't be summer without it. Just take the train to Hampton Court Station.
Hello, hello, I'm Pierre Mouret, and here is my recipe for a good morning. Take the morning talk bag, mix with a generous helping of your calls, and lots of fun, interesting guests, and go absolutely crazy with these celebrities. Oh, presto, you've got the Pete Morris Show every weekday from 9 to 1 on London Talkback Radio.
What am I talking like this for?
This is Douglas Cameron's breakfast call. Phone now on 071-603-1152.
Judy Flowers, join me to have a look at our stars. Good morning.
Good morning, Doug.
Not too bad a day today.
No, on the whole, I'd say not too bad for the greater part of the day. It's the early morning, and I mean really about 9 o'clock this morning, and again later this evening, again about 8 or 9 o'clock, that difficulties could occur. And the problems will come only because we've got situations really out of perspective. And for you Cancerians, it could be some self-analysis early today that rather shakes you, but see it as helpful. And later in the day, you'll be able to talk about your feelings very rationally. This evening, just don't fret about work. I really think because there won't be a problem to fret about, only an imagined one. And many happy returns if it's your birthday today, the 30th of June. Now, in about the spring of next year, you'll realise you're making great progress in life. All sorts of new opportunities should be opening up for you. It's a year for change. Once you've convinced yourself, you can leave the past behind, and relationships of all kinds should blossom. And home life looks wonderful too. Leos, you'll possibly become slightly obsessive early this morning, Leos, about some small upset at home. Do try to keep a sense of proportion about everything. But once over that, the day looks good for all family matters and entertaining. Virgos, one-track-minded is the theme for you Virgos early today, but the wrong track. Be very careful what you say, and right, you could end up looking very foolish. But later on, expect some good news, and socially, the day looks very promising. Librans, emotionally, the morning for you Librans could be rather difficult. Either you'll become slightly demanding or you'll be coping with someone who seems to drain you. There are people like that, aren't there, occasionally? Yes.
Very hard going, yes, some people, aren't they?
But financially, Librans, it looks okay today, and I think you'll feel confident about spending. Scorpios, you tend to be at your most secretive early today, Scorpios, and possibly bottling up some very negative emotions too. But as the day goes on, you'll relax and find it easy to say what you feel, and should in fact be excellent company. Sagittarius, now if any sign this morning is going to brood on what might be and get life totally out of perspective, it's you, Sagis. But your optimism will quickly take over, helped, I think, by a heart-to-heart. And this evening, don't read too much into a remark. Sagittarians, I must say, on the whole, don't brood. But they do tend to exaggerate, which makes them some wonderful storytellers, because a good story needs a bit of exaggeration. But of course, when things are looking bad, they tend to exaggerate that as well.
Oh, I see, yes.
High drama. Capricorns, early today Capricorns, first a friend could possibly question your loyalty, and second in some group endeavour it'll be all politics. Don't let it get to you. The rest of the day looks good for your social life. If you actually want company, I think you could prefer time on your own today. Aquarians, someone could be on a power trip early this morning. Aquarians, if it just happens to be you, why the need to throw your weight around? Charm and reason will get you what you want today, especially at work. Friends, I think, could disappoint you this evening. We've talked before, Doug, of days that I like to call sandwiches, and this, yes, in fact, is one of them. This time it's a bit of a little stale bread on the morning and the evening, and quite a nice filling. Pisces, something you strongly believe in, Pisceans, could assume great importance early today, and yet it's vital you don't become narrow-visioned because of it. A change of scene could do you a power of good today. Somehow, do try and break with routine. Aries, you could well have to cope with someone's emotional games early today. Aries, don't rise to the bait. Any problems can be discussed sensibly later on. And a money matter can be sorted out too today. This evening, let the future take care of itself. Just don't worry about it. Taurians, a lot could be said this morning, Taurians, that's possibly hurtful, and yet a personal or professional relationship will in fact benefit from feelings coming to the surface. This evening, best not to mix money and friendship. And finally, today, Geminis, a slight health problem could get out of perspective early today, Geminis. Talking over your worries will help enormously. And at work today, someone could be generous with some excellent advice. This evening, I don't think you and a partner will see eye to eye about anything.
Tomorrow?
Tomorrow, yes. We've got Mercury starting to move retrograde. And generally, I think the day won't be entirely plain sailing.
Judy, thank you very much. It's 7:45.
This is the Mercedes-Benz 190E from J.I. Attacker. She really is beautiful to drive. But apart from drawing your attention to her style and performance, I'll leave you with this thought. A new Mercedes-Benz from J.I. Attacker could be yours for just £259 per month. The Mercedes-Benz 190E 1.8 from J.I. Attacker. Cash price £16,400, £3,000 deposit, 13.9% APR, 36 monthly payments over 3 years. Written details on request, offer subject to status. J.R. Tagger, Mercedes-Benz, Watford's 242-243.
Minutes to 8, up we go to Winko Wolf and the DHL London Lookout aircraft.
All seems to be moving reasonably well. I'm just around about junction 10 on the N25. If you're coming up northbound, going towards Heathrow or clockwise, it does come to its usual sort of grinding halt here. Not for very long. But there's about a 2 mile queue of very slow moving stuff going that way. The other one to watch out for, of course, junction 16 coming round the other way, and that is tailing back to almost Maple Cross. The Blackwall Tunnel, that overhyped vehicle, still causing problems, tailing back past the sunny side round about northbound, and just a little bit over halfway back to the bow fly over southbound. Greenwich Trafalgar Road, that's quite busy, that's all related. The queue into the Rotherhithe Tunnel, it's fairly short, but it is obviously very slow moving coming up onto the A13. Lower Thames Street, that's busy, but it's moving okay. West Hill, Putney Hill, not too bad this morning so far, about half full. The A4, that seems to be bunching at Hammersmith Flyover now at the Tolgarth Road section. The A40, Acton to the Renault Works, so that's comparatively quiet. And Long Lane to Swakeley's Corner, I would have expected more at this time of the morning. Wimbledon, well, the car parks are now open and people are beginning to get their get themselves organised for the day down there. It's going to be a very, very nice day. The queues are not quite as long as they were in the last couple of days or so. This is Brian Wolfe with the London Lookout, delivered by DHL Worldwide Express.
Railway's going very well indeed. Just confirmation of the spelling of that horse that Tomo gave us for the 4:20 at Warwick. A lot of people have been ringing up saying, how do you spell it? So it's number 2, the 4:20 at Warwick, he reckons might well win. Quinn Sigimund, Quinsigimond. It's 12:30 to 8.
Here's an exclusive offer for Evening Standard readers. Enjoy all the beauty of the Hampton Court Palace Flower Show at a privileged price. See today's Evening Standard.
On 21st of July, between 11 and 12, on the Pete Murray programme, Aspects will answer your questions on preparing for the birth of a child. If you have a question on how best to prepare for a birth, physically, emotionally, or financially, write to Pete or call the Aspects question line on 0800 373 499. That's 0800 373 499. The senders of all questions answered in the programme will receive a free copy of Labours of Love, the latest book in the Aspects of Life series. Aspects of Life is NMP, National and Provincial Building Society, and London Talkback Radio working together to provide practical help and advice.
Phone Douglas Cameron's breakfast call on 071 603 1152.
It's 11 minutes to 8. Ken has rung me from Barnet. Ken, good morning.
Good morning, Douglas.
What can we do for you, sir?
Allen and Hanbury's cod liver oil of malt. Wonderful stuff.
Yes?
They used to make it under an Allenby. Allen and Hanbury.
Oh, yes.
I was fed on that when I was a kid in the 1920s. Every morning throughout the winter. I've never seen a doctor in my life apart from the forces, and my father was the same before me.
Oh.
I wouldn't mind betting there's something, not a trace of rheumatism or anything, and I'm 72 now.
Is that still going then?
Well, yes, but it's not the same stuff. It's tack now. Wonderful stuff. Cod liver oil of malt.
Cod liver oil of malt.
Another thing.
Yes?
Do you remember, I've been listening to you since you started, you know. At Gough Square.
Good gracious me, when this radio station used to be in the city, in Gough Square, just on Fleet Street.
And in those days, you didn't always use, despite the maximum effort to get there in the morning, you never sometimes got there, did you?
I tell you, twice...
The maximum.
Oh, that's right, yes, I had a... That's right, yes. You have a very good memory. I used to have a car.
That's right.
Which you've just said the name of. Which kept on breaking down. That's right. But Fords were very good to me in the end, after I publicised the malfunctioning of my vehicle on the air. They were very good to me, I must say, and sorted the whole thing out. Ken, you have a very good memory. Thank you very much indeed for your call. Betty of Bromley, good morning to you.
Oh, good morning, Douglas. Speaking about malt...
Yes.
I can remember my mother. She used to pay about a penny a week to the school, and we used to queue up when we went... first thing in the morning,
yeah.
And there'd be the whole class or the mothers that used to pay that penny a week,
yeah.
And we used to get the teacher, she had this big jar of malt, and she used to dig in the spoon, and it was like a shovel, and as you went along the queue, they still used the same spoon for every child.
Dear me.
And it used to be put in your mouth, and you know, you'd have to shut your mouth, and it'd take about 5 minutes trying to go down.
Yeah.
It was the fact the same spoon was used in the jar.
I wonder if anybody ever went down with any of the dreaded lurgy. They probably didn't, you know.
No, you're immune to disease, aren't you?
I suppose you are these days. I must say that I think I would draw the line these days at having the same spoon among a whole class of kids. But thank you for your memory, Betty. David of Whiteleaf, good morning.
Oh, good morning, Douglas. Your comment about Snook...
yes, a fruit concoction, wasn't it? Yes.
And I remember Snook very well indeed. In fact, we have our daughter's ration book, where she had sweets and what have you, and she's now 42.
Really?
Yes. Anyway, turning to Philip Eden's weather...
Yes?
He mentioned Phoenix in Arizona.
Yes, I tell you what it was in connection with, for people who didn't hear it. I asked him yesterday, because I was speaking to a group of ladies the other night, and they said, in view of the super weather we've had in the last few days in London, what would Philip think would be an ideal climate in the world? And he said, well, certainly the sunniest place was Phoenix.
Yes.
And you obviously heard that. Have you been there?
My relations moved one by one from Chicago to Phoenix many years ago for this very reason.
That's Arizona, isn't it?
Yes, Phoenix, Arizona.
Right.
And I have been there about 4 years ago, and we arrived in October in the middle of the night on a plane, obviously.
Yeah.
And the temperature was over 80 degrees.
Oh, heavens, that wouldn't
and
be an ideal
climate for me.
And
there was a lovely breeze, and there is no corrosion at all on motor cars in Phoenix. They look brand new. You know, all their chromium... plate, you know, there's no corrosion at all.
So you reckon it's not a bad climate then?
No, I'd like to live there myself.
Okay, David, Sydney from Hatch End. I don't know what the weather's like in Hatch End today, but I expect it'll be pretty nice and sunny.
Douglas, where have you been these years? You said you hadn't heard of spam in the shops. I'm holding a tin in my hand right now which says best before end of April 96.
Ooh. Oh, right.
It is the blue and yellow tin as it ever was. 72 pence I paid for it, and I shall have it a little grilled on toast. And it's lovely.
Blue and yellow tin of spam.
As it was.
And did you used to eat spam when you were a child?
In the forces, yes. Just during the war, the Americans brought it over, as you know.
Tell me, Sydney, has the spam that you have in your hand now, or do you think it's changed from the spam you were used to
eat? Not one scrap. It's just as nice as ever.
It's the same stuff, is it,
indeed,
really?
Indeed it is. And can I tell you something else about ghastly foods?
Yes.
I'm 73, and when I was about 8 or 10, all our parents were obsessed with bowel regularity, so I was revolting. And they used to give us the most revolting stuff. You won't believe this. It was called, and have you heard of it, Confection of Senna.
Confection of Senna?
And it was in
little... Well, I've heard of Senna pods.
Well, this was a little pill box of brown, always made of wood, if you know what I mean.
Yes.
I remember them. And inside it was this thick, black, viscous... It looked like tar on the roads, and it tasted like God knows what. And when it was forced down your throat, you had to put your hand on your mouth to stop instant regurgitation.
Oh, my goodness me.
But it did have the general effect of, you know, parents were obsessed in those days with bowel regularity. They're not now, are they?
Oh, I don't know, really.
Well, I do hope you'll find somebody who can remember Confection of Senna. I doubt it.
Confection of Senna. Okay, well, go and open your tin and enjoy your spam. Sydney, meanwhile, we'll move on to Vincent of Egham. Good morning, Vincent.
Good morning, Douglas. Infection. I've spoken to you before.
Right.
You were talking about snook.
Yes.
In the war, I had a fish and chip shop in Richmond Way, Shepherd's Bush.
Yes.
And we used to get it there. It's related to the pike family.
Oh, I see.
But really, it's from, and also from the barracuda, and it's used a lot out in Australia. I went to Australia after the war.
Is it available now, snook?
Well, if you get pike, you've got snook.
I see, it's pike. it's just by another name now.
That's right. They've got it's quite what I'd call it, a long snout, and it's got very, very sharp teeth.
And can you remember if it was nice to eat?
It was very nice to eat. It was quite sweet. It wasn't unlike hake.
Oh, I see. Okay, Vincent, thank you. Wynne from Shepherd's Bush, good morning to you.
Good morning. It's brought back quite a memory. I had an uncle in the First World War. He was a prisoner of war, and when he came back, because of his health condition, he was issued this cod liver and malt by the army, and I was about 4 at the time, and he hated it, but I used to love it, and I used to have it spread on bread and butter, and I called it fish jam. All right, I'm now 77. I've had my problems, but quite frankly, I don't think I've done too bad.
Wynne, thank you very much indeed for your call. Now, if you've tuned in the last 10 minutes, you'll think, my goodness me, why is everybody ringing Doug up this morning about food? Well, at about 6:30 this morning, we played a little cassette of an ad, an American radio ad, we think it was. It's certainly before British radio ads started, about 30 years ago. And Jill Garside, they called Jill Garside, sent us it, and she said, you might like to play this on your program, and you might get a few phone calls. Well, my goodness me, we've hardly stopped taking calls on food since an hour and a half ago we played this.
Spam, spam, spam.
There is only one.
Spam, spam, spam.
It's the only one.
Many tins of meat, but there's only one. Spam, fabulous to eat. Taste the pork and taste the ham in spam.
There is only one.
Spam,
there is only one.
Spam,
in the blue and yellow can.
Say spam.
How's your father? All right, 8:03.
Friends, Romans, and countrymen, lend me your ear holes. Friends, Romans, and countrymen, lend me your ear holes.
Tain't what you say, it's the way that you say it. Call the presentation company on 071-831-3630 for a slide presentation that won't make you a laughing stock.
Mr. Grimsdale!
Michael Watkins, have you ever had spam, Michael?
No, I'm a boiled beef and carrots man, Douglas.
Oh, that's why you sound so healthy every morning. Right?
Oh, thank you very much. We're just looking up the word spam to see if there is a place in the UK called spam. But,
if there is, you'll find it.
Right, OK. Meanwhile, more important things, the M25 slow anti-clockwise at Junction 16, the turn for the M40, heavy and slow back to Junction 17 at Maple Cross. M4 elevated section, fairly heavy on the eastbound approach. And watch out for restrictions on Pentonville Road at Islington, that's westbound, heading away from Angel towards King's Cross, a restrictions junction with Penton Street, delays likely. Michael Watkins, AeroDwatch.
On the Underground, there's no central line service between West Ruislip and North Holt at the moment. A lorry has hit a bridge at South Ruislip, and there's possibly some structural damage to the bridge. So no service between West Ruislip and North Holt until the engineers have inspected that bridge. Apart from that, generally speaking, on the Underground, the buses, things are going pretty well at the moment. But later on, there are going to be union meetings at New Cross and Camberwell bus garages. Services based at both will begin to deteriorate from about 10:30 as the staff return to the garages. The meeting begins at 11, and then there'll be no services on any of those routes right through until the meeting is over. How long that will be is anyone's guess. Michael Meach reporting.
Railway's going very well indeed. We had delays of half an hour on one line, but that's well past us now, so everything 100% on the railways. We've been talking, of course, about foods you've loved and hated as a result of that little ad. It was nice, wasn't it, really? And if you'd like to continue to ring me up on that subject, you're very, very welcome. Also this morning, we've been talking to the talkback vet Bradley Viner about the fact that dog breeders are today making a last-ditch attempt to continue the practice of tail docking. Tomorrow, an amendment to the Veterinary Surgeons Act takes effect, which will make it illegal for non-vets to dock the dog's tails. I wonder if you have a comment on that. And perhaps you would like to reminisce about the old tenpence piece, which finally bows out of circulation today. All calls gratefully received, but now the news.
This is London Talkback Radio, 1152 kilohertz, 261 meters medium wave.
Good morning, it's 8 o'clock. I'm Douglas Cameron. In this bulletin, MPs consider claims of a dirty tricks campaign by the Serious Fraud Office. Over 1,300 businesses go bankrupt every week, despite economic recovery. And an investigation starts after a London schoolgirl died from taking anti-malaria tablets. The head of the Serious Fraud Office could face a Commons committee to answer allegations of using unfair tactics against the former Polypec chairman Azil Nadir. The Home Affairs Select Committee is to consider claims that SFO officers conducted a dirty tricks campaign against the runaway tycoon. The SFO is denying the allegations. It's recently been under fire for its handling of the Guinness affair and the Dawn raids on the Maxwell brothers. Lord Spens, a city financier, acquitted in the Guinness trial, has told LBC he was appalled by his experience of the SFO.
An extremely unpleasant experience. I found that this Serious Fraud Office don't play by the rules one would expect normal people to play by. They are quite unprincipled, and they work on the basis that the end justifies the means. In other words, they go straight out to get a conviction, and they don't terribly mind whether you and everyone else is squashed en route.
More than 1,300 firms are still going bust every week, despite signs of recovery in the economy. A new Dun & Bradstreet survey shows total business failures in the first half of the year rose by 5.6%. In London, almost 4,400 firms failed in the last 6 months, and the number of personal bankruptcies has risen. A post-mortem examination is to be carried out on a 12-year-old girl who died after taking malaria pills she apparently thought were painkillers. The victim complained of a stomach ache at school in West London and was taken to the West Middlesex Hospital by ambulance, but died soon afterwards.